Workday Afternoon Replay from Money FM 89.3. The Soul of Business with Clarissa Montero on Money FM 89.3.
Good afternoon and welcome to The Soul of Business on Money FM 89.3. Today I speak to Douglas Woodring, founder of Ocean Recovery Alliance, about the environmental problems our oceans currently face. We're going to look at what those problems are. We're going to look at what the steps are his organization has taken to try to change that. Let's talk about sea pollution as well while we're at it. But first, Douglas, welcome to the show. Can you give us an overview of what Ocean Recovery Alliance does?
Sure. Thanks for having me, Clarissa. We're an NGO based in Hong Kong and in the U.S., but mm-hmm. we do global work. We've one of the first NGOs to really have done work with both the World Bank and the UN on mm-hmm. plastic pollution. We started this trek, if you want to call it a long road, more than 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. And there wasn't many people in Asia at that time, actually even globally, really focused on plastic in yep. the ocean. Obviously, now it seems to be in the paper every single day, mm-hmm. and you hear about it in all ages and all brackets of life, and that's great. So the momentum swing has happened, mm-hmm. But now the first chapter is kind of starting, or the next chapter, which is how to fix this challenge. So the ocean is the vector for all of the discussion. That's where you get the images of the turtles and the whales and the dolphins. But it's very important to remember, even though our name is Ocean Recovery Alliance, the ways to fix this issue on plastic are not in the ocean, it's on land. And it's in all of our lifestyles, communities, businesses, and municipalities, everything upstream. And then the ocean benefits downstream. And mm-hmm. so that's really what we're working on, is preventative side upstream.
So you're basically saying it's what we put in our garbage that ends up in the oceans.
That's correct. In our garbage or in our front yard or when we burn it. Unfortunately, a lot of countries don't have the facilities and the infrastructure to pick up the trash. And mm-hmm. people obviously don't want it in the front of their house, and so they throw it in the backyard, in the creek, in the river, they burn it. It's not necessarily their fault, but mm-hmm. we don't have that infrastructure. And then you bring climate change into this with big rains, floods, stronger weather events, that just washes it out, bang, right away into the water. So the rivers and the creeks are a real, should be a strong focal point. They have not ever really been. The ocean community often always talks about ocean salt water. The freshwater community often only talks about freshwater. And very infrequently do the two big sides really converge to think about all the pollutants going from A to B and how we all play a role in that space.
And are you trying to change that and bring the conversation together?
We are. So we have an app called Global Alert, lets you report trash hotspots anywhere in the world's waters. We announced it a number of years ago, turned it on about 3 years ago. It's in Spanish and English because it was partly funded by the World Bank, but it basically lets you report trash hotspots near rivers and creeks like you would with Waze mm-hmm. for traffic.
Right.
And just that alone is enough to get some data and information to people and stakeholders in those watersheds who can potentially use it to their advantage to decide to put up booms, nets, catchment devices, and other cleanup activities that really draws community focus into the water, which they didn't do before.
Okay. Now, what would you like to achieve with Ocean Recovery Alliance? What would you, at the end of the day, like to see happen?
Wow. Well, that's a big question because, I often say that plastic pollution is a more complicated problem than climate change.
Yeah.
It might not be a bigger impact on us, mm-hmm. at least for the near future, but it is very hard to fix it because there's over 40,000 variations of plastic that live within seven families of main categories of plastic. Mm-hmm. Very hard to get to everyone's house and business and intercept that when it becomes trash and get it back into a system that allows it to be reincarnated, find mm-hmm. a second life so it does not become waste or it doesn't get burned. So we would like to see companies really get involved and not just do their business for free. Mm-hmm. And what does that mean? It means you need to pay to play. You need to be part of the solution and benefit the communities you're serving and the people you're serving by contributing via your product or recovery of your product much more than what is today, which is often maybe a small donation or CSR, corporate social responsibility, volunteering activities, but that doesn't really get behind the heart of their product, the material, and the way that they recover it and make sure it doesn't become waste after the consumers have used it.
Right. We're speaking to Douglas Woodring, founder of Ocean Recovery Alliance. One of the problems that I see time and time again on this show, The Soul of Business, is a lot of businesses realize that they need to do more for in the name of sustainability and environmental protection. But that has to juxtapose against they are in business to make money. And their challenge is always, how do they do both and still get ahead and still have happy shareholders? Is there a way that can happen? Is it always going to be a fight?
There shouldn't be. In fact, I would say that the biggest opportunities for any company in the next decades will be around the environment. Mm-hmm. That is how they will differentiate themselves. That is where innovation will be. That's where job creation will be. New materials will be. And if you're not being in that space, you will get left out. The difference with plastic and carbon is that plastic often has a name on it. Mm-hmm. It's got a brand. It's under a bush, has your name. Your company might not be responsible for putting it under that bush, but your name is now remembered by whoever has seen that. And that is a very important thing for the stock market, mm-hmm. because there's a brand liability that does not exist with carbon. When you look at the intangible asset value of the New York Stock Exchange, it used to be 25% in the 80s. Now it's 75%, which means that it's not the value of your buildings and your machinery mm-hmm. and your equipment. It's the value of your brand. And if your brand is not deemed and your employees are not seen to be doing some good things for the communities they're serving, they'll get dinged with that sooner rather than later. And that's where you have to pay to play. So it's no longer going to be about making as much money as you can by giving away nothing. It's going to be about making what you can and giving away as much as you can while you do that.
Okay. I can't say that I disagree with that. I hope it actually happens. Now let's turn our attention to marine conservation. Everyone is saying it's somebody else's problem. It's the government's problem. It's big business's problem. But if you are an individual like myself, what can we do?
Well, the challenge with the ocean and marine conservation is a lot of people don't live near the ocean. Mm-hmm. They don't consider themselves ocean people. They might not be fishermen. They might not live at a resort. They go there once with their family a year. And so they wash their mind of it and say, oh, it's not
somebody
great
else's
to
problem.
See it.
Yeah.
But what we're trying to get back to this point that it's all upstream is that every piece of garbage has left someone's hand mm-hmm. before it became garbage.
Right.
That's pretty amazing. That means that you were one hand away from this solution. The problem is the infrastructure globally doesn't exist for that mm-hmm. one hand to go into the right place and put it somewhere. So you can do a lot of things by not picking products that have wasteful packaging on them. You can make your voice known if you like a brand's products and you think that they're packaged inappropriately. A lot of these home delivery now, you're getting packages every single day. A lot of them are too big for the size of the product that they're shipping. There's a whole kind of things. But if the companies don't realize that they're being watched and checked, you might even ask them, why is your product not made with recycled content? Recycled content is going to be the next big thing. Now companies are starting to scramble to figure out how to get supply chains of recycled content, which is basically reincarnated plastic mm-hmm. from a source that has a good story to it that says, wow, we're part of this. We recovered this from point A or point B, but no one can find it because the systems are very inefficient around the world. And that's a super challenge, but a very interesting opportunity at the same time.
All right, let's talk about some of the programs that Ocean Recovery Alliance has, the Plasticity Forum, the Plastic Disclosure Project. Tell us more about them.
Right. So the Plastic Disclosure Project, we launched almost 10 years ago at the Clinton Global Initiative. It is very much like carbon and water reporting, mm-hmm. but for plastic.
Okay.
Very few companies hone in on plastic and waste as their one of their ESG, environmental social governance reporting standard points of focus. But if you don't measure what you have, you can't manage it.
Mm.
And if people are now interested to go into the circular economy and see what materials they can recover and keep reusing, if you don't have a baseline measurement of what you have and use and create, then you don't know where to really begin.
Mm-hmm.
So now, finally, the Plastic Disclosure Project, which can be used by any government, municipality, business, university, airport, stadium, can all be a way, a methodology for people to understand their footprint. It doesn't mean there's a right or wrong, there's no right or wrong number, but mm-hmm. it means that once you now know how much you have and how much you use, you can decide, okay, I could change the packaging, I could reduce this, I could add recycled content, I can make sure that this material gets to that third-party reprocessor, whatever the story is. Our Plasticity Forum is a business conference we started at the Rio Earth Summit in 2012. We've had 13 events since then. We move it around the world. It's a bit like a TED conference on plastic sustainability. We call it the Olympics of Plastic.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about solutions for second life plastic.
Mm-hmm.
So we assume that all of the easy, stupid plastic, stupid packaging that you don't need will be washed away and washed, you know, in quotes, meaning it will be gotten rid of eventually, hopefully. But there will be a lot of plastic that still exists. We can't just go from 0 to 100 and have none of it.
Mm-hmm.
We need it for food, medicine, computers, cars. A lot of the consumer goods still need to have plastic in them. So we need secondary lives for that material. And that's what our Plasticity Forum is about. Some we've had speakers from Singapore, Hong Kong. We just had a very big event with the UN in Bangkok in November.
Mm-hmm.
We'll probably be having another one with them in November next year in Vietnam. And so we really encourage people to be in part of this. It's all about building collaborations. This problem is so tricky that you can't just take one easy solution and say, wow, okay, I just fixed this for my city or my town. You need often 4 or 5 or 6 different collaborating parties to make that one big wheel turn and have that solution work. So 1 + 1 + 1 = 8. But finding those parties to work together is something that not a lot of people have done yet because they never needed to string those stakeholders together.
You need everybody's buy-in too, right?
Yeah. And it's amazing when you see it work. And that's what's exciting about running these events. So hopefully you can come one day.
I'd love to. What is the Bruges Whale? I have to claim ignorance here.
Okay, that's the skyscraper. He's in front of the Marina Bay Sands mm-hmm. at the Art Science Museum. It's a 11-meter tall whale made mm-hmm. from plastic that was collected from the middle of the Pacific Ocean.
Right.
Actually on the beach of east side of Hawaii, but it came washed in from the Pacific. It's large pieces of plastic, but it's a huge sculpture, beautiful, inspiring, made by Studio KCA in New York. It was done by the city of Bruges, had a triennial, and they are the ones who asked for this to be made.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw this last year and said, wow, you know, this is something Asia really needs to see. This whale. And when you go see it, you just can ask yourself all kinds of questions. Where does this come from? We have a number of signboards at the bottom that says, can you find me? It's like a treasure hunt. So there is a sign that says this piece is somewhere on the whale. Where did it come from? Where is it on the whale? Why is it in the ocean? And it's just an interesting way to get people thinking, asking questions, children wondering why is the whale made of plastic
mm-hmm.
in a way that doesn't, you know, bash people on the head and say we've got to ban this and, you know, everything's bad. It's using art and sculpture and public awareness to create this discussion, which we have then brought in different workshops and education, and we'll be moving around Asia for the coming year with the skyscraper.
So you just want this conversation to reach as many people as possible.
Yes. This is just, you know, this part of the world is, I think, eager to understand. There's many studies that in China where the youth have learned about things that we all have maybe taken for granted when we've been in education, and they just didn't even know that something was bad for the environment. And as soon as they know, they say, oh my gosh, I will not do that again. Mm-hmm. But they didn't know. And so we can't blame them for not knowing, but this is a chance to get people who might not have really thought about the next step and say, wow, what do I have in my hand? I have a plastic bag on top of a drink, and it's holding in with a straw. And then all of a sudden, I realize I have five pieces of garbage in my hand just to have one drink. You know, those kind of discussions are important and can lead to business opportunities along the way as companies get on board and say, hey, we want our industry to be one of the leaders in this area, whether it's for hotel, for restaurants, for auto. Everyone has got a piece in the puzzle to play here, and that's what's actually kind of exciting about it.
Okay, from the Bruges Whale, before I let you go, how can members of the public, walking away with a new conversation in their head, what can they do right away to do their part for conservation?
Well, conservation has a few things. One is don't pollute. So that's use less waste. Don't buy a banana wrapped in a piece of plastic when you don't need that. You know, don't have plastic plates at your kids' parties. Those are the easy ones. Mm-hmm. Be vocal on social media in a constructive way and ask companies why you have this packaging if you don't need it. But conservation also means not eating as much seafood, asking your waiter and waitress, is the seafood sustainable? You might have heard numbers that there'll be more plastic in the ocean than fish by 2050. I actually think it'll be faster than that because overfishing is such a big problem and the subsidies on overfishing, which we won't get into here. But that means there's less fish and more plastic. The vector will cross probably before 2050. We've got more people on the planet, so we have to really start thinking and be proud. I think that's one of the things that we've all lost is the pride in our own space right in front of us. You see garbage on the ground, be proud to pick it up. Pick up three and walk along and get all of them and not just walk by and say, oh, someone else might pick that up, so I'm okay today.
It's no longer somebody else's problem. It's ours.
It's everyone's problem.
All right. Douglas Woodring, founder of Ocean Recovery Alliance, thank you so much for coming in and talking to us on Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.